Chapter 30. Legio First. Wet snow splattered Domine Ex Venari, obscuring the feed from the Titan's auspexes. Visibility was further limited by blasts of light flashing through the storm with every lance strike against the Cathedra Telepathica. Having judged their initial position to be of no use to the defence, Second Maniple were descending the mountain to attack the enemy. The Legio Mortis swarmed the walls, punching through the opening made by the 8 possessed titans of the Legio Volpa. There were dozens of them, the most feared engines of war in all the galaxy. Esha could do nothing but kill as many as she could before Domine Ex Venari was inevitably destroyed.
"Pan left 90 degrees,
Esha ordered. The torso of Domine Ex Venari swung around, bringing a vanguard machine of the Death's Heads into their line of fire. 5 rockets from their precious supply detonated on its void shields. It drew off at speed, surprised by the emergence of Second Maniple from the mountain heights.
"Chase it down,"
Esha ordered. Oz Rubrum and Procol Videns set off in swift pursuit. Cursor Ferro, Steel Huntress, Domine Ex Venari, and Velox Canis continued their descent. At the third line, the fortifications no longer encircled the mountain completely, but were made up of individual bastions interconnected by roads wide enough for Titans to patrol. Esha Animohana's aim was to find some useful place there to bombard their attackers from. In a smaller war, her decision could have won the day, but the action around the Needle was apocalyptic, and Second Maniple's part was therefore small. The snowstorm glowed with the reflected light of the burning defence lines 1,000 metres below. Esha's Auspex returns were crowded by hundreds of engine signs. Legio Mortis was at close to full strength.
"If the whole of our own Legio were here, we'd still have no chance against them," she thought.
She kept this assessment to herself. Horus had more than war engines attacking the mountain. Drop pods streaked down from orbit, blowing all their propellant only meters from the ground and coming to a near instant halt. Only the enhanced bodies of the Legionis Astartes could withstand such punishment. The sons of Horus were taking to the field. On the mountain they had the advantage over the Titans, infantry being more able to scale its steep faces. They sought out high positions and commenced firing heavy weapons at the god engines. To start with, they were an annoyance, but as the Legio Mortis closed in and void shields began to fail, sustained attack by infantry-borne heavy weaponry began to pose a problem. Energy beams from Horus's war fleet lanced repeatedly down. For now, they let the loyalist engines be, targeting instead the base of the giant tower. Its void shields had lasted for an hour or so. Now each blast carved molten scars in the Needle's fabric. The blizzard whipped past in horizontal lines of snow. A keep atop a mountain spur appeared suddenly from the murk.
"Here! We hold here," ordered Esha.
They took places upon the marshalling ground. The castellum was ablaze, the roof replaced by a column of fire, and every window lit from within like a vast lantern. It overlooked the main access road, rising up to the base of the Needle, where the enemy concentrated their advance.
"Power down reactors. Stealth running. Wait for my signal."
She wished they had time to cover their machines in their camellia-lined meshes. The screens were fragile and would be burned off by any kind of hit, but for ambushing the foe, for taking that first vital shot before they were aware of the Imperial Hunter's presence, they were invaluable. They were a signature part of the Legio's equipment, but like everything else, they were out of supply. She'd have to rely on the storm to hide them. Esha struggled to see through the driving snow. Her auspexes were fouled by enemy countermeasures. The Vox was virtually unusable for anything other than maniple communication, and the Titan's vid lenses strained against the storm. Wet lumps of melting ice streaked her sight, whether viewed inside her own mind or upon the visual plate at the Zella front. Her auspex feed jumped and stuttered. There were too many engines to accurately count. In the graphics overlaid upon the vid feed, their signatures clumped into a river of red, like lava flowing in reverse up the mountain towards her. She found movement in the snow and tracked it visually. The shape of a warlord resolved itself from the blizzard and the strobing flares of weapons fire. It marched upwards, firing its weapons at the base of the needle, accelerating its destruction. It was as yet unaware of her maniple.
"Stand ready,"
she voxed her unit. They waited. Two warhounds and two reavers were more than a match for a warlord, but timing could save them from its retaliation. The warlord carried on up, passing within 200 meters. The enemy's augur soundings rang in Escher's mind, each questing machine sense given a different noise, so that it sounded like a jungle chorus. The warlord's detection systems were at the forefront of this aural warning, but there were others coming, adding depth to the symphony of the machines.
"More enemy approaching. It has to be now. Strike and withdraw."
Four reactors spiked, feeding energy into weapons. Half-dormant shields sprang to full strength. The warlord detected them instantly and swung its torso about to bring its main weaponry to bear. Chimes rang in rapid succession. Domine Ex Venari's weapons were ready, then steel huntresses and the warhounds.
"Fire!"
she ordered. Velox Canis and Cursor Ferro opened fire first, their Vulcan megabolters stripping the void shields of the warlord back. It fired in return, raking the lip of the plateau the maniple occupied with blinding lasbeams. Cursor Ferro took a hit that cost it a void, but the warlord had a poor firing angle, and the rest of the volley grazed the rock or shot skywards without harm. The Reavers fired next. Their lasblasters took down the last of the warlord's shields. Only when the augurs sang out that it was shieldless did Escher unleash her volcano cannon. Durana Fal followed suit. Too late, the warlord saw what peril it was in and began to step backwards down the slope. The shots hit home, punching through its chest armour and opening up its reactor chamber to the air. The reactor went critical. The Titan vanished in a blinding ball of light. A sphere of clear space was carved out of the blizzard for a second, before the snow fell in to fill it again. Escher ignored the crowing machines confirming engine death.
"Withdraw," she said.
Through hit-and-run attack and ambush tactics, Second Maniple stung the enemy. They caught a reaver in a defile and gunned it down. They closed roads with triggered rock slides. The pace of action was unrelenting. An hour felt like a week. Reinforcements from Beta Garmin II began to arrive. It was a panicked response. Dropships approached without clear landing vectors. Those that evaded the attention of the enemy fleet were attacked by the massed fire of the Legio Mortis. They set down badly, often ablaze, landing gear scraping at the rock as they skidded down the mountainsides. They crashed and burned, the surviving engines inside fighting their way out of the wreckage to join the fray. As many died in the attempt to relieve the forces defending the mountain as made it down safely. A mad panic had set into the Imperial forces. Now the War Master's plans were clear. All the while, the Legio Mortis pressed upwards, swarming around the mountainside like ants. Where the walls were not destroyed, they were assailed by the Space Marines of the War Master, and their tower guns fell silent. When the main defences were taken care of, Titans loyal to Terra became the primary focus of the enemy's attention, and then began to die. Second Maniple kept moving. Steel Huntress was struck by a starship weapon and halted, dead, most of the crew slain, and Durana Fal left badly injured with no hope of rescue. Velox Canis fell to the volleyed rockets of a flight of enemy gunships. Saranti Daha died screaming as the Titan was engulfed in flame and exploded. In time, only Escher Ani and Jahani Jahan were left alive in their small group. No contact came from Abhani Luce or Toza Mindev. They turned surely from the hunters to the hunted. They did what the hunted always did, and headed for high ground, moving cautiously, always at risk. Defending the needle was no longer their consideration, only survival, and they headed away from the mountain and into its sister peaks. They came upon Terrant Hartek's rabid machine, quite by chance, within the arena of a corrie, carved out by glaciers when the planet's climate ran without humanity's interference. Escher chose it for the sheer drop on one side, easy to defend, and providing a solid platform to fire upon the enemy below. She hoped to slay a few more engines before the end came. Her last battle arrived sooner than she'd expected. They entered the concavity before they saw Hartek, by which time it was too late. A phantom Auspex return in the storm became a solid presence, and then there he was, coming out of the blizzard right at them. Nuntio Dolores howled to see such choice prey set before it, and broke into a run.
"Encircle,"
said Escher, as soon as Nuntio Dolores appeared. Jehani Jahan went immediately wide, looping out of harm's way while riddling the warlord with her guns. The enemy titan had lost its voids, and the shots hit home, but the warlord kept on coming, too fast and fluidly for a war engine of its size. After the hard climb, Domine Ex Venari had no power to spare for its volcano cannons, but fired wildly with its laser blasters. The shots cratered the stone around Nuntio Dolores' feet. A few hits scorched its greaves, but did no harm.
"Get around behind him!"
Escher voxed Jahani, shouting over the discharge of her titan's guns. But Jahani Jahan ran away towards the Cori entrance, vanishing into the dark and the snow in the final betrayal of their friendship. Cursor Ferro's signum marker winked out. Escher faced Terrant Hartek alone. His engine stared at hers, pawing the ground like a beast. It radiated a sense of wrongness, engendering a sick animal fear that made her want to run. She felt it in her crew. They were tensed, ready to bolt. If they did, they would die. Domine Ex Venari stared at Nuntio Dolores. Metal pinked as it cooled in the mountain storm.
"What are we going to do, Escher?"
Yaha Yaha said.
"Jahani's gone. We're alone. He's just waiting."
"She wouldn't just leave us, not like that,"
voxed Odani Jahan, refusing to believe her sister would abandon her and Jeffanir.
"Well, she has,"
shouted Yeha.
"He wants us to make the first move," said Escher. "He wants me to run."
"Maybe we should,"
voxed Nefer Nen from her station.
"Say that again and I'll shoot you myself,"
Escher said, and meant it.
"A hunter never runs before her prey. Omega Six, get me as much power as you can. I'm going to need it all."
"There will be one last beneficent act from the machine god,"
the Magos responded.
"I will ensure it."
Escher eased her hand off the manual throttle and flexed her stiff fingers.
"Yeha, lean over and give me widecast. All frequencies. Let's see if he talks."
Yeha Yeha looked at her.
"Just do it,"
Escher ordered. Yeha Yeha leaned over to the Oratorius desk and punched a sequence of buttons.
"There you are,"
she said.
"I hope this works."
Escher paused before depressing the voxcaster button, but when she spoke, she did so firmly.
"Hartek, listen to me,"
Escher voxed.
"We do not have to fight. We can both live. Remember that we were comrades. Remember that."
"Is that it?"
said Yaha Yaha.
"What else do I say? Apologize for lying to him?"
Interference crackled over the vox. It was a desperate gambit. If Hartek had been in possession of all his faculties, then it might have worked. But he was not. Nuntio Dolores howled with bestial belligerence. It lifted its face to the sky and roared.
"Cog and gear, what by Mars have they done to that engine?"
said Yaha Yaha.
"Get me all weapons online now,"
Escher said. Nuntio Dolores broke into a charge. It was so close, Escher was still bringing her weapons to bear when it crashed bodily into Domine Ex Venari. Its shoulders rammed into the Zella, jarring the crew violently as the head snapped back against its neck cowl. One of the mandible pipes tore free as Nuntio Dolores pushed against the Reaver, inching it back towards the drop. As he pushed, Hartek swiped clumsily, attempting to grip the smaller Titan with his power claw. But his hold came free, ripping off Domine Ex Venari's left-hand lasblaster in the process. A second swipe crushed Domine's void shield blisters, and they gave out with a spectacular burst of violet light. The Reaver was rocked back by the greater power and weight of the Warlord.
If Hartek succeeded in having Nuntio Dolores seize Domine Ex Venari, then it was over. She needed to get him at range. Knowing she could not beat Hartek hand to hand, Escher stepped back and around, turning the impetus of Nuntio Dolores against it, pitching it forwards. The larger Titan stumbled, stopping its trip from turning into a complete fall by grabbing at the mountain with its power claw. Hartek was jammed against the rock at the point the Corrie sheared off 400 meters. Snow-whipped darkness lay before him, the mountain's lower reaches lit by the flashes of ongoing conflict. Escher staggered aside. Alarms trilled from every quadrant. Super-chilled gases vented into the cockpit from the machine's ruptured coolant system. The crew were shaken from their unity with the MIU and were speaking all at once, delivering verbal reports of imminent doom. Escher let the system's notifications flow over her in that strange machine copy of pain a princeps shared with her engine. There was damage throughout.
"We won't survive another charge like that. All power to volcano cannon," Escher ordered.
Mechanisms clunked inside the machine as power was shunted to the giant laser array. Domine Ex Venari's right hip gyroscopes had been unseated, and Escher and Odani Johan struggled to keep a constant lock on its enemy. The focal distance of the gun changed as it wavered about, the irises about the main crystalline array constantly shifting as the machine's spirits tried to get a steady lock. She gritted her teeth and fired, just as Hartek was pushing himself off the rock. Bits of the Titan caught on the stone tore with the huge force it applied to stand.
"Missed!"
Odani swore. The volcano beam sliced into the cliff 20 meters to Hartek's right. Molten rock dribbled down the cliff face. Nuntio Dolores stood upon the brink of the precipice and screamed towards the sky.
"By the Omnissiah," Escher breathed. "What have you done to yourself, Hartek?"
This time he replied.
"Escher! Escher!"
said Hartek. His voice was cracked, teetering on the edge of incoherent rage.
"Look upon my power. I'm so glad you have seen it. It was fated that we meet again, don't you think? Now you will know the glory of chaos before you die. Now you can see how weak your Legio is, how misguided in its loyalty to the false Emperor. Still, you follow the tyrant of terror. Look at what he denied us. Witness your mistake before you perish, my dear."
The lasblasters upon Hartek's carapace swiveled down and locked on. Slowly the Titan brought up its volcano cannon.
"Your friends have abandoned you. I never would. You could have become one of us, and together we could have raised my son to the heights of power. But you denied me. You denied him. You gave him to them, the scryers of oil and mumblers of knowledge. How I hated you for that."
"Listen to me," Escher said. "I lied to you. I didn't want you to think about me or about the child. I wanted you out of my life. What your Legio did to Bifex, I could never forgive."
In her Auspex senses, Escher saw a flicker in the warlord's power flow. Hartek paused.
"What do you mean?"
Hartek's voice was still strangled with rage, but a measure of the man he had been was evident in his words.
"I mean,"
began Escher.
"She means you had no son, you misbegotten traitor scum!"
Jahani Jahan's voice cut across the vox.
"You have a daughter, and she serves the Legio Solaria, the Emperor, and Mars with pride!" "Jahani,"
said Jephaniah.
"Where is she?"
said Escher, who could still see no sign of the scout through the Titan's senses.
"All the little loyal daughters of the Emperor are here. Good! I can kill you all!"
Hartek pivoted to find her. Too slow. Too late. Jahani's signum burst back into life. Across multiple machine sensors, Escher witnessed the Warhound's reactor ramping suddenly up to full output.
"She's worked herself around the other side of Hartek on low power," said Yaha. "She's coming in fast."
The ground vibrated with Cursor Pharaoh's rapid stride as it burst out of the swirling snowstorm, running directly at the traitor warlord. Hartek redirected his weapons towards the charging scout. Flickers of destruction burst past Cursor Pharaoh, and the snapping bangs of displaced air echoed round the quarry. A triple hit from the lasblasters burst the small titan's void fields, and it stumbled, but recovered, and ran full tilt into Nuntio Dolores. The impetus of her charge rocked the warlord back. They stood upon the edge of the precipice a moment, framed by fire glow refracted through the snow and rain.
"Leech, you're first," said Jahani Jahan.
The titans fell away into silence. Domine Ex Venari took a faltering step towards the drop.
"Jahani,"
Esha said. Alarms wailed all around her. Fire licked from shattered panels. Yaha-Yaha had disconnected herself from the manifold and was jetting fire suppressant over the damage, yelling at the others to help.
"Jahani Jahan, respond!"
There was no reply, and no time to mourn. A tremendous world-ending rumble sounded across Beta Garmin III. The Carthegia Telepathica was falling. Domine Ex Venari swung around and looked up. A vast molten bite had been taken out of the Diviner's Needle by the traitor's bombardment. The mountainsides echoed to the war horns of the enemy as they beat a hasty retreat. Domine Ex Venari had nowhere to go. The astropathic temple swayed. The giant horses, holding it steady, creaked, sang a sawing whine, and parted. Cables whipped free. Like a felled tree, the needle turned away from its weakened point and dropped.
"Get us out of here now! Drop shields! Decouple weapons! All power to locomotors!"
The Titan lurched into a run. The needle ripped itself up by the roots, demolishing the mountain. Domine Ex Venari made the entrance to the quarry as boulders the size of land raiders roared down from the heights, only to find the road down full of rocks flowing liquidly to the plains. The needle was toppling in the other direction to them, an endless line of rock-crete and plascrete descending from the heavens. As it fell, it bent, the indestructible destroyed by gravity's violent pull. A rising pressure radiated from the top, pushing at the crew's inner beings, the psychic screams of 1,000 astropaths plummeting to their deaths. Falling cables sliced into the mountain like garrots into throats. They fell so fast and hard they glowed with heat, and their impacts set off more landslides. Yasha turned the Titan hard away from a falling hawser. Yaha-Yaha was disconnected. Jeffanir was insensible with shock at the death of her blood sister. The burden of piloting the Titan was Esha's alone. She felt effort crushing her. A headache was building like a wave, the kind that threatens apoplexy and death. Domine Ex Venari turned straight onto the mountainside. The machine skidded and stumbled down the slope, slamming into outcrops to slow itself, each hit impairing its function more. The weight of the machine pulled at it, and in short order it was falling faster than it could run. A rush of pulverized stone flowed down the hillside, engulfing the Reaver's ankles. The Titan tripped and fell. Esha activated the Salvator protocols. Explosive bolts blew around the neck ring. Rockets fired, and Domine Ex Venari's head flew free in a lofting arc as the Titan's body crashed down hard. Udani Jahan, Nefer Nen, Omega-6 and Fenina Bol were left behind in the disintegrating machine. Limbs scattered down the mountainside, half swallowed by rushes of following stone. The carcass tumbled over three times, then came to a sliding halt. The head, meanwhile, was in greater trouble. The engines were short burst, limited fuel, intended to carry the command crew clear of a reactor breach, nothing more. Firing from the side of the mountain, it flew further and faster than it should, descending with a cannonball's parabola to certain destruction. It hit the ground 400 meters down, bouncing, picking up speed, tumbling with no more control than the boulders racing down the mountain beside it. Esha's world was a centrifuge whirl of screams and sharp pain. Her restraints saved her from immediate death as the head hurtled down the mountain, holding her in place and preventing her from being dashed to pieces on the sides of her own cockpit. The Zeller came crashing down onto a boulder that acted like a ramp, bowling it high again, and then, with one bone-crushing impact, Domine Ex Venari's head came to rest. Blackness swallowed Esha.
Escher knew she wasn't dead, because she dreamed. She dreamed she saw the War Master himself. Full of demonic majesty, he surveyed the field of battle in the drear light of day. His dread lieutenants surrounded him, men who had once been noble and wise, great heroes of the Imperium. That had left them. They were cruel warlords now, with no trace of kindness remaining, only the burning need for conquest and power. They spoke words she could not hear over the ringing in her ears, but they gestured clearly enough, showing off the scene of triumph for the edification of their master. They showed him maps and picked captures of how very clever they had been. Horus waved them away. They showed him these things only to justify their continued existence. But he was the War Master. He did not need such crude aids to see the scope of his victory. Fell lights were threading the clouds. The warp had broken through the veil of reality. Under this light, Horus seemed at home amid the destruction. Escher watched this disembodied, so it seemed, staring from above onto a burned-out gun platform on the second line. But she was convinced, should she move, that he would see her. She held her breath. She willed her heart to be still. Nothing in the universe could frighten her more than the thought of looking into those burning red eyes. He didn't look at her. He turned to his lieutenants and raised a clawed hand. He began to speak. A curious thing happened. As he spoke, his face creased. His hand went to his side. It came away covered in blood. A wide wound had opened in his armor, where there had been no mark before. Beneath it, the flesh parted like a smiling mouth, and vitae by the liter gushed from it. The War Master fell. Consternation exploded in the silent tableau. Guns were pointed, some were fired. Less than half a minute passed before teleport light engulfed them all. The sons of Horus bore their father bleeding from the field. More blackness. Bright light ended it. It was shining straight in her eyes. She grimaced and shut them. She wanted to sleep.
"She's alive," said a voice she didn't know. "Mother," said her daughter. "Mother, can you hear me?"
Sores rasped metal, weights pulled away from her chest, replaced with stabbing pain. Bigger lights blinded her.
"Mother! Mother, stay with us!" "She's gravely wounded," said the other voice. "The rest," said Abhani Luce. "Dead?" "Quickly. We've got minutes at best before the enemy find us here. Get her to the shuttle."
A third voice, also unknown. She felt she should know, but she did not. Her mind was full of holes. None was bigger than that left by Domine Ex Venari.
"We are trying our best, Princeps. Then try harder."
She was lifted out of her throne. Bones ground on bone. She screamed.
"Careful! We have to be fast. Get her aboard."
She was taken outside. The whine of idling plasma jets greeted her. Cold wind blew off the plains.
"It's not raining," she said.
"She's speaking,"
said Abhani Luce.
"Mother."
A warm hand rested on her arm.
"What did you say?"
Escher's head rolled to one side as they lifted her into the shuttle's open hold. Before the doors were shut, she saw Domine Ex Venari's battered Zella resting upon a small cliff, faced with plascrete, part of the roof sawn away. By chance, the Titan's auger lenses had come to rest, pointing at a blasted gun platform 100 meters below. She recognized it. Her heart beat fast. She tried to sit. Her hand groped for her daughter's arm.
"What is it? What is it?"
said Abhani Luce. The cold nozzle of a dispenser pressed into her neck.
"My daughter,"
she managed to say before the drugs hissed into her bloodstream and took her away once more from the waking world.
"Terra is saved. Horus has fallen.